Luke chapter 6, verse 45 is our text for the message. It's always a matter of heart. Luke 6, 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. It's always a matter of heart. Everything in the Christian religion is a matter of heart. Salvation is a matter of heart, as we saw in the message on Romans 10, 9 and 10. Training up children is a matter that involves the heart. The Greek word that's translated heart in this text is the word cardia, from which we get our words cardiac and cardiologist. What is God's word talking about when it talks about the heart? The heart, as God's word refers to it in our text and most often in Scripture, is a figure that refers to the very center of a man's being. A man's heart is the root of his thoughts, his actions, and his speech. The heart speaks of the affections, the soul, the understanding. It includes the reason, the emotions, the will. Unger's Bible Dictionary defines the word as the center of the rational / spiritual nature of man. The heart directs the tongue, what it says, what it sings. W.E. Vine says the heart is used figuratively for the hidden springs of the personal life. The heart, as lying deep within, contains what 1 Peter 3:4 calls the hidden man, the real man. According to the Lord Jesus in our text tonight, you can tell by what a man's words and life bring forth what is in that man's heart. One's speech and actions come out of the treasures that are in his heart. Basically, what the Lord is saying here is, to use lingo from my grandmother's generation, you can tell what's in a bottle by what comes out of it. In our text, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples in what some have chosen to call the Sermon on the Plain. And he makes a very profound statement about the heart. In this message, we're going to think about the heart. And as we do, we're going to consider three very important things the Lord Jesus points out concerning the heart. And this we'll try to relate to the theme of training up children in the way they should go. First of all, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples here and us what good people think and talk about. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. What good people think about. Wait a minute. The Lord speaks of good men here, and yet the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 19, 17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. How do we explain that? Paul says in Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God's word says then, there is none good and none that does good. And yet here in our text, the Lord speaks of a good man. How can this be? What or who is a good man? According to the Scriptures, a good man is a regenerate man, one whose heart has been made new, one who has been born again, one who loves Christ and follows Him. In such a person's heart, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So, the Lord says here that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. What is a treasure? A treasure is simply a collection of riches. A good man, a regenerate person, has a treasure in his heart. A collection of riches. A special kind of riches. Spiritual riches. For one thing, as Psalm 37, 30 and 31 says, the law of God is in his heart. Now, the word law there can have a much broader meaning than just the Ten Commandments. It, in its broadest sense, it's talking about the entire Word of God. So, for one thing, a good man, the treasure in a good man's heart includes the law of God that's there in his heart. Turn with me to that scripture, Psalm 37, 30 and 31. Psalm 37, 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Another part of the good treasure in a good man's heart is the love of God in his heart. What does a good man do when he brings forth good things from his heart? Now, we could list a lot of things here. He gives his testimony of salvation. He tells what God has done for his soul. Turn to Psalm 66 and verse 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. A good man, when he brings forth good treasure, gives his testimony of salvation. Psalm 66, 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Next, turn to Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10. Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. A good man with good treasure in his heart speaks to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about Christ. You know, I've noticed a lot of preachers lately who rarely mention Christ. There's something wrong. Because a good man who brings forth good treasure out of his heart talks about Christ. He talks about his person, his work, his perfect righteous life, his blood shedding, his death, his righteousness. He says with the psalmist in Psalm 71, 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Another thing a good man brings forth when he brings forth from the treasure of his heart, that is, he speaks of things that edify and build up other Christians, such as Bible doctrine. He also speaks of the comfort of the Scripture. You know, we've talked a lot about politics this week in our off sessions, and you know, we have to come back to those great comforting scriptures that God is sovereign, that God is in control. That's the only way we can face what may lie just ahead of us in our country. The love of God in a regenerate person's hearts dominates his acts and his words. So those are just a few of the things that are in the treasure of a good man's heart. Well, in this text, the Lord Jesus also tells us what evil people think and talk about. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. An evil or sinful person has a treasure in his heart, an evil treasure that is a collection of evil riches. The heart of an evil man continually brings forth what is evil. The words of an evil man reveal the evil treasure that's in his heart. His words reveal his corrupt nature, his great wickedness, his filthy lusts, his sins. Where the love of the world and the flesh rules a life, there is evil treasure in that heart. The love of this world dominates the words and the acts of an evil person. The heart of the unregenerate man directs his tongue to speak contrary to God's will. His words are vain, blasphemous, against God and against Christ. You know, there's a man in our neighborhood down in Mississippi, and he claims to be a Christian. He's a member of a Southern Baptist church. His father was a Southern Baptist pastor. But that man cannot have a conversation. He cannot have a conversation without using the precious name of Christ and of God in vain. He opens his mouth and the sewer comes out. Turn with me to Romans 3, 13 and 14. Romans 3, 13 and 14. Here Paul describes such persons when he says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. He's talking about the unregenerate Gentiles. Isaiah 59:13 speaks of uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Where do lies come from? They come out of the heart. David describes evil men when he says in Psalm 12:2, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Why do people use profanity? What, you ever thought about that? Why in the world do people use profanity and take God's name in vain? Why do people tell dirty jokes? I've known people that you can't be around them 10 minutes. They don't come up with a dirty joke. Why do they do that? Why do people look you in the eye? Why do businessmen look you right in the eye and lie to you? According to the Lord Jesus in our text, it's because they're bringing forth what is in their hearts. What comes out is what's in the heart. Why do people watch dirty movies? You know, most modern movies are dirty movies. Why do people watch them? They make millions at the theaters. Why do people watch dirty movies? Why do they love and sing rock and rap and country music with their filthy themes of lust and violence? It's because of what is in their hearts. God's word says that every man's heart is wicked by nature. And a child's heart, my friends, is wicked by nature as well as an adult's. Yes, a child's heart is depraved. In the book of Proverbs, and someone in the messages brought up this verse, the word foolishness in the book of Proverbs has reference to sin and sinfulness. And Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound, that is, it's tied up, it's chained in the heart of a child. How did that happen? A man recently told me, and I can't believe there's people like this because we've preached on this and talked about this so much in our circles. But this man recently told me that, well, I believe that children are not held guilty until they reach something called the age of accountability. Oh, that man could not have been more wrong than that. Someone has rightly said, I heard it in one of these conferences one time, said the age of accountability was 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden when all men were put on trial in Adam and held accountable when they sinned in Adam. A young child, I know a young child may not have gone as far in sin as an adult may have gone, but he was born with a wicked heart, and his words and his actions bring out the evil in his heart. He lies. You say, how can you say a child is evil, is wicked? Well, he lies. You know, even before he can speak, when a child wants something he doesn't get, he cries. There's a sense in which he's lying there. Like, oh, I'm hurting. You got to help me. You got to give me what I want. A child disobeys his parents. That's wicked. He says bad words. There's no denying that every child by nature is evil, has evil treasure in his heart. The things that a child says and does reveal the treasure that he has in his heart. That brings us to the final thing, and we want to spend most of our time on this. The Lord Jesus tells us in our text why people speak and act the way they do. Why do people speak and act like they do? In giving us the reason, the Lord says in our text, for or because of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what he's saying is it's a matter of heart. That's why people do these things. Why do children do the wicked things that they do? It's a matter of heart. Let's think for a moment here about the natural condition of the heart of man. I know the modern man does not want to hear this, but the Bible tells us about the nature, the natural condition of the heart of man. What is the nature of the human heart? A lot of people believe the human heart is, when a child is born, it's like a blank slate, and it has to be written on, and it's okay until somebody makes a bad mark on it. What is the nature of the human heart? Is it morally good? Many people believe it is. Is it morally evil? Is it innocent and pure by nature? We talk about innocent little children, and I know what we're saying, but I hope we're not saying they're sinless. Are they innocent when they're born? Are they really innocent? Well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, because Jeremiah 17:9 gives us the true condition of the human heart by nature. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. I believe every Christian should have this verse of Scripture memorized. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Every man is born with a sinful, fallen, wicked, deceitful heart. Every man is. I was. You were. Jeremiah says here, first of all, the heart is deceitful. Oh, how we find this to be true when we're honest with ourselves. How deceitful the human heart is. A man's heart will deceive him in every way imaginable. It will often deceive him into thinking that his indulging of his lusts and his dirty mind are not sinful. I've met people that think that's not sinful. That's a deceit of the human heart. The heart will deceive a person into thinking that his sins are just little things. I remember when I was a boy, it was popular to talk about little white lies. That's the deceit of the human heart. A lie is a lie. There's no white lies and black lies. Shouldn't be too concerned about that. The heart will deceive us into thinking, well, it's just a little white lie. Some hearts deceive themselves into believing that they're sinlessly perfect or that it's possible to be so. One time a lady told my father, who was a Baptist preacher, said, "Preacher, I want you to know I haven't sinned in 25 years. He said, "Lady, you're the biggest liar I've ever met." Some people believe they can be sinlessly perfect. Paul's heart, before the Lord saved him, convinced him that in relation to God's law, he was blameless. There was only one person ever blameless. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. Our hearts often deceive us into thinking that God doesn't see our thoughts and our acts, and he won't call us to account for them. The heart often deceives us into calling evil good and good evil, and Hollywood's been doing that for a long time. Turn with me to Revelation 3:17 for an example of professing Christians whose hearts had deceived them. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus reveals the deceived hearts of the people in the church at Laodicea when he says to them, "Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." They were deceived, weren't they? A man's heart will deceive him into thinking that even though he's a notorious and profligate sinner, God is a God of mercy, and he surely won't send him to hell at last. A man's heart will deceive him into thinking that he has a righteousness of his own that God will surely accept. If his good works outweigh his bad works, God will take him because God's a God of mercy. Because of that righteousness, he thinks he's on his way to heaven, when in fact that is self-righteousness and he's on his way to hell. We're prone to think that we're right with God and that we trust in him and that we have a right to his blessings when we're not. A man's heart will often deceive him into thinking that he has a free will and that he can be saved anytime he wants to, so he's going to wait till the moment of death and trust the Lord. We think we trust in God. My friends, listen, this really hits home. We think we trust in God, but our reactions of fear and anxiety in the face of danger and trial and disease show us that we do not. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It came from somewhere else. A man's heart will deceive him in thinking that he has great spiritual knowledge, when in fact, spiritually, he is ignorant and blind to spiritual things. You ever known anybody like that? A man's heart will deceive him into comparing himself with others that are outwardly wicked and profane and concluding, "Well, I'm not so bad. I'm better than him. I ought to get some consideration with God." Oh, my friends, man's heart by nature is deceitful. And notice it says, above all things. Jeremiah 17:9 goes on to say that, above all things. That means to an extreme degree. Man's heart is wicked to the extreme. A man's heart is more deceitful to him than Satan himself, who is the great deceiver. It is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says. Furthermore, Jeremiah 17:9, in analyzing the human heart, says the heart is desperately wicked. Everything in the heart is desperately wicked. The thoughts, the imaginations, the affections, the conscience, the understanding. Turn to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 9. Psalm 5 and verse 9 says that the heart is wickedness itself. Psalm 5:9, the inward man here refers to the heart. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth, their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher, they flatter with their tongue." So desperately wicked is the heart that there is sin in our hearts that we don't even know is there. Finally, Jeremiah 17:9 asked of the human heart, who can know it? Who can know it? Who can plumb its depths? Who can describe its wickedness? Who can guess what our hearts will do when the trials come? Think about that. We can't even guess what our hearts will do when the real trials come. David couldn't figure, he didn't know it. He couldn't recognize it. Hezekiah couldn't. And Peter couldn't. Who can know it? The philosophy of the world that's often stated in today's entertainment and in the media and by psychologists is this: follow your heart. We hear that every day. Follow your heart. Somebody says, what shall I do? Follow your heart. That is not biblical advice. Since the heart is deceitful above all things, it shouldn't be trusted. No one should trust his own heart, nor the heart of another. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. In our text in Luke 6:45, the Lord Jesus speaks of the abundance of the heart. What is the abundance of the heart? The abundance of the heart is the treasures in the heart. It's collection of riches. Whatever a person, man, woman, boy, or girl, brings out through his words and actions comes out of the riches in his heart, whether they be good riches or evil riches. The heart of a man directs his will and his actions. It directs what he wants to do. A man's mouth speaks what is in his heart. What your mouth generally speaks with enjoyment and emphasis, whatever it speaks of like that generally agrees with what is in and what is important in your heart. The Lord Jesus says in our text, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. John 3:31 says that the man who speaks of the earth is earthly. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. That's saying what we've been saying. Turn to Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. All kinds of evil come out of the heart, the Lord Jesus said. Where does all this wickedness come from? It comes right out of the hearts of men. Again, why do people cuss and swear and use filthy language and tell dirty jokes? Why do they do that? These things come from a profane and filthy heart, because the Lord says they come from the abundance of the heart. Look at the verse. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So, why do children lie? Why do children talk back to their parents? Why do they steal things from the store and look at dirty pictures and cheat on tests and bully their classmates? Why do they do these things? It is because of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. On the other hand, good people talk and act the way they do because of what's in their hearts. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For good people, regenerate people, the heart is the dwelling place of Christ within us. Let's turn to Colossians 1:27. You talk about treasures in the heart. Every Christian has Christ himself in his heart. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27 says that Christ in you is the hope of glory, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. For good people, regenerate people, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit is in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 speaks of God who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, it's true, I know it's true, that sometimes good people say a bad word. Sometimes a wicked person will say a good word. But the general tenor of one's word shows the treasures that he has in his heart. So in conclusion, our text says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, young people and children, here's a very important fact. With all of this in mind that we've said, God knows what is in every man's heart. You may think you can hide those wicked thoughts that you have, but God knows them all. He knows the thoughts in men's hearts. Turn back to Jeremiah 17, 9 here, and I want us to read verses 9 and 10 together because they go together, and so we'll read them here. Jeremiah 17, and I'll read verses 9 and 10 to illustrate the fact that God knows what is in your heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins or the inner part of man, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God sees and knows everything that's in the heart, even those things that we carelessly overlook. He sees them all. He sees all the wickedness in our hearts. Jeremiah says here that God searches the hearts. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what we've seen tonight, God's word discerning what's in the hearts of men. Psalm 44:21 says this of God, He knoweth the secrets of the heart. We certainly cannot know the hearts of others. Oh, it's a shame how we think we know what's in people's hearts, isn't it? We cannot possibly know what's really in the hearts of others. But God searches all hearts, and He knows what's in them. And He will bring all men to judgment for what's in their hearts. Only a regenerate person knows his own heart. And what he knows about his own heart is that it's corrupt and wicked and deceitful. But only God knows what's in a person's heart fully. How does a person get a good heart? How can you children have a good heart? How can a child who is sinful by nature get a good heart? Or to phrase it as the Lord Jesus does in Matthew 12:34, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? God must give a person a new heart if he's ever to be a good person, like the Lord's talking about here. He has to give a person a good heart. He does so in the new birth. The good man's heart has been changed by an act of God's grace. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When a man or a child or a woman or a girl or a boy have been born anew, the Holy Spirit plants graces in his heart that bring forth good fruit in his life. I'd like you to turn with me to another verse here, John 7:38, which states what we've just said here. John 7:38. In John 7:38, the Lord Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as the source of the good treasure in a regenerate person's heart. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, that word means his inward parts, his heart, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living waters. When one is a new creature in Christ Jesus, the graces of the Holy Spirit will flow out of his heart and into his life. This is why the will of a regenerate person will choose the will of God and will seek the will of God and will love the will of God. No man by nature has good treasure in his heart. No child by nature has good treasure in his heart. Good treasure has to be put into one's heart. It has to be placed there. And only God in his grace can do this. In Hebrews 8:10, God says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. That's how it gets there. A regenerate man can do what Paul commands Christians to do in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Without God's grace and regenerating power, without the blood of Christ, the heart of man is incurably wicked. And this is why the Lord told Nicodemus in John 3:7, ye must be born again. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the new birth and your great grace in working that new birth in wicked, sinful hearts like ours. We're grateful that a man becomes a new creature and old things pass away and all things become new when your Holy Spirit works regeneration in his heart. We pray for especially for the children here tonight, that they would see their sin and their sinfulness and their need of a Savior. We pray that your Holy Spirit would use these feeble words tonight to bring them to repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen.